Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, David. Happy to have you on tonight. Thank you.
No, it's truly my pleasure, Danielle. It's great to be on.
David, I'm happy to have you on because one of the main themes is the offensive line this season. And we are conditioned to think that continuity is the most important on an offensive line. But Joe Judge has actually been kind of going against conventional wisdom and rotating his guys. And he cites things like fresh legs, different looks. As a player, as an offensive lineman, what other advantages are there to this concept of rotation?
Well, I think it's actually a great thing of what he's doing with this rotation, because I know a lot of people will say, well, it's an excuse, but when you don't have an offseason, where you don't have mini camps, where you don't have OTAs, where you don't have all the time where you can spend specifically on offensive line play, it definitely affects your regular season. You know, I think about the times that Rich Seubert and I played four or five straight seasons together. And even with all that game experience, by the time we got done with mini camp and OTAs and got to training camp, we had thousands of combination blocks, thousands of double teams, thousands of zone blocks, to get that that comfortability of one another, but also to know the footwork, to know the techniques together. So I think that's one of the great things that we've seen out of this offense, and what Joe Judge and what Mark Colombo are doing with the offensive line are getting young guys opportunities, giving them opportunities to play in a season that we know is a condensed season. But with that said, we know that this Giants football team's building for 2021. We know that without having this offseason, this was their time to truly evaluate through a 17-week schedule their roster and what they want to do building it for 2021. And I always say, when I was in the Giants team on 03, my rookie season when I got drafted, Coach Coughlin comes in 04. And by the time that we hit 2005, there were only 17 of us left from the 03 roster on the 05 roster. So you know that there's going to be turnover. So I love the fact that he's given Matt Parrott opportunities to go out there and play. That was one of the things I hoped earlier before the season start. Get him in at jumbo tight end. Get him in as goal line opportunities so he gets that game experience. Unfortunately, with Will Hernandez testing positive, that gave Shane Lemieux an opportunity to go out there and play. And then obviously with Andrew Thomas, who we thought was going to start at right tackle, but with Nate Solder opting out, getting thrust into the left tackle position, he's gotten his opportunity to start and experience, and we've seen him get taken out and Matt Pert put in. So I love the combination that we have two young tackles that can be the bookends of the New York Giants for a long period of time. And that's the one thing that when people talk about, man, I wish that we had your offensive line back. The problem is we all got old at the same age, and there was never that clear cohesion of who the next group was going to be in to take over those reins. And I think a lot of it was due to before Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman getting picked on as the head coach and general manager, bad drafting and free agents.
The last time the Giants had three rookie offensive linemen to start at least one game in the season was in 2003, your season, your rookie season.
Versus the Dallas Cowboys on Monday Night Football. Talk about on all times that you want to be starting three rookies in a game.
The 2020 Giants are doing just that, and also with the first-time center. So my question to you is, you know, when people say, oh, just switch that whoever offensive lineman to some other position on the line, what do you wish those people would understand?
I wish those people would understand, from somebody who played all four positions on the offensive line but center, that think about this. You're a right-hand dominant player. You're on the right side of the offensive line. You're a right tackle. And that's what you're used to doing. You're flipping around all of your technique, your footwork, your power leg, your hand placement, everything gets reversed, as well as the play call and the type of players that you're playing. So it is a tremendous difficulty to jump from one side to the other and be like, oh, no big deal. Just move them from left to right. It'll be fine. It doesn't work that way with offensive line, because when you play O-line, there are no ties. You either win your battle or you lose your battle. And it comes down to the techniques and fundamentals to get that job done.
And we're talking with Pro Bowl offensive lineman David Deal here on The Fan. David, based on your playing experience, I mean, especially with, we just talked about how young these guys are, could it possibly be a hindrance to them in their development being asked to play multiple positions at the NFL level?
No, I think it's actually the complete opposite, because that's what I did as well. And if you can do it early, especially in your career, and you can adapt and adjust to different positions, number one, it shows your value to the football team that you are not just a one-plug player. You're a commodity that can play different positions. And also, we know that there's trial by fire. I was a 21-year-old starting right guard in the NFL, and my first snap of my career, I gave up a sack. They ran a Mike Sam strong safety blitz that we didn't even talk about before the game. And all of a sudden we come to the sidelines after we go three and out, and offensive line coach is like, what happened? I'm like, they ran this, this, and this. Oh, you got to squeeze it. You got to bring the tight end down. It was something that we never even talked about. But the thing that happened with that is we saw it again 2 weeks later. I knew the exact call to make, and we picked it up and actually had a huge third down conversion on it. So those are the things that this team and this young team are getting through this experience, because you can't learn from sitting on the sidelines. You have to physically do it. And the more experience you get, even in adverse times like the Giants have faced this year, it's only going to bode well for you moving forward in your career.
I mean, you know him, obviously. I've never met him, but what human or personal qualities or characteristics does Joe Judge have that makes guys want to play for him?
I absolutely love his demeanor. It's about discipline. It's about the techniques. It's about the fundamentals of it. And it's about doing it throughout an entire game. And he holds players accountable just like Coach Coughlin did. If he sees you do something perfect one time, he's going to hold you to that. Not because he's trying to be a grudge or anything, because he knows you're capable of it. And I think that's one of the great things that we've seen out of Coach Judge. And it reminds me of the old Bear Bryant quote from Alabama, where he came from under Nick Saban as well. Coach the hell out of him and hug him later. He is as hard-nosed and as tough on them on the field as you can possibly get. But once you get off of the field, he knows their families. He knows their kids. He knows their personal situation. He can laugh. He has that relationship with them off the field, because he is a coach under the age of 40 that can relate to these young players and is coached at the college level. So the fact that he can hold them accountable and be as stern and disciplined as he is, but then the minute that they're off of the field, he has that other relationship with them. That's why the players respect him, and that's why the players have been responding to the messages that he's been giving and the way that he handled the Golden Tate situation.
Yeah, you know, looking at the talent on this roster, let's be honest. I mean, the roster is not the most talented in the league. So do you feel that this 2020 team is playing up for him?
I do. I think that we've seen them ascend and make progress each and every week. And while we sit here, I mean, to be honest, the only game that was a blowout that they didn't have a contest in was the 49ers game. Every other game that they've been in and played and lost, you can look at the game and it wasn't the plays that the other team made. It was the two or three or four plays that the self-inflicted wound showed up for the Giants. So I do think that they're playing and they've elevated their game for Coach Judge, Jason Garrett, and Patrick Graham on the defensive side of the ball. I think that they understand their roster. I think they understand the strengths and weaknesses of them. And I think that's going to show up in this game tomorrow up against the Philadelphia Eagles. And it's going to show up the rest of the season post-bye, because last week, the Washington football team, they didn't play them too long ago. Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow, that's a game that they played 4 weeks ago. So they have that personal experience of playing up against this offense and defense. And then after this game, it's the bye week. This is going to be the big telltale sign of this Giants team moving forward in 2021, is how do they play post-bye? Because both offense, defense, and special teams, you're going to go through the strengths, the weaknesses of what you guys are doing as a group, and you will get a sheet from the coaching staff on what you individually need to hone in on to make the corrections moving forward on the season. So from that point forward, I think that's where we're truly going to see this football team blossom and end the regular season with a big push.
I get the sense that you would have liked to play for Joe Judge.
I would. You know, I hear him out there, and I heard him in his introductory press conference. I mean, there are a lot of similarities to the coaching style of Coach Coughlin and holding people accountable and making sure that people are accountable to one another and are true teammates, and that there are no agendas. The team comes before self, and you can see it in the way that they play and the way that they respond, especially when the offense makes a play on the field. You see the defense on the sidelines are engaged and in the game. The defense makes a play. The offense is doing the same. That shows a team that really cares about one another, that cares about winning. And through the adversity, you've never heard finger pointing.
You, I think, would be more privy to this information than I am. But do you know, I mean, I agree. I love Joe Judge hire. But do you know or have any information about how or what level of involvement Dave Gettleman had in selecting Judge? Was he a part of that at all?
You know what? Obviously, when you're the general manager and you're going to be a mainstay with the new head coach coming in, I'm sure that there were discussions between Joe Judge, Dave Gettleman, John Mara, the Tisch family when they were making this decision. But at the same time, you know, when you sit there and you look at the Giants, who have had two new head coaches before this over a four-year span, that's not Giants football. We know that it comes down to a head coach that's dependable, that can come in and that can stay for a duration to really get the best out of your football team. So I think they made the decision what was best for the organization. When it comes to Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman, I do think that their evaluations are very similar. You know, when you think about Dave Gettleman, he was the head of pro scouting and of the department. So he was evaluating O-linemen, D-linemen, special teams players, just like Joe Judge was as a special teams coach. So I think they both look at players in a way that it's not just, okay, what can't he do? What can he do? What can he do well? And how do we put that player in a position to succeed and not ask him to do something that he can't do?
Yeah, I do like the pairing of them, actually, with all the free agent signings, especially on the defense this year. But
yeah,
you just use a word, David, that I think might irk some Giants fans. You use the word Dave Gettleman and mainstay in the same sentence. Do you really feel that he will be the guy moving forward?
Well, I mean, I was talking about head coaching. I mean, but when you talk about mainstay, yeah, you knew that Dave Gettleman was going to be the GM, regardless of whether it was Joe Judge or another coach hired. So that's what I meant by mainstay. And in regards to Dave Gettleman, I know that he's been getting a lot of heat, but James Bradberry, Blake Martinez, Leonard Williams, those were all decisions that during the offseason, Jets fans and anybody in New York, why would you sign Leonard Williams? Look at how well Leonard Williams is playing. Look at how well James Bradberry is playing. Look at Blake Martinez. It's for once we have the epitome of what a Giants linebacker is that makes tackles and flies around and plays disciplined football. Those are exciting things. But the big thing that we're looking for and everybody's looking for are just the evaluation of the draft picks. I think that that's what everybody's looking for. How does Daniel Jones finish this season? How does Will Hernandez finish this season? Those are all great questions that have to be answered, and that'll do the talking for him once the season's over.
Obviously, Andrew Thomas, too, fourth overall pick.
Oh, yep, absolutely. Matt Parrott, yep.
Yep. So I guess let's put your Giants helmet back on. When you look at Daniel Jones, you know, again, the Giants really didn't have a preseason this season with a brand new head coach, and this is a guy learning his second offense in two seasons, which I don't think people really quite grasp. What are some signs of progression to the untrained eye might you catch in Daniel Jones?
I think when it comes to Daniel Jones, I think last week was a good sign with no turnovers. He got that out of the way, and now it's just him moving forward and being smart with his decision-making with the football and that clock that's going on internally in his head when he's in the pocket. Those are all things that are controllable. Do I think Daniel Jones is the future quarterback of the New York Giants? Yes, I do. He has the arm talent. He has the athleticism. He has the intelligence of an offense. But I think what happened was, number one, this season, with the amount of pressure to where now where the offensive line is gelling, it did affect his mechanics. He's got to sit. He can't drift. He's got to drive the football. He's got to do a much better job at that and live for third down. If it's second down, you're up in a game. You don't want to throw a costly interception. Take a sack, live for third down or punt the football, especially when you're in between the 40s. And the other thing is that clock in his head with the pass rush. As I said earlier in the season, he was under an immense amount of pressure. Now it's up for him not to be looking for it and to see it, but to feel it and to use that athleticism in the pocket to make sure he can stand and deliver the football in a proper way. If you're comparing Daniel Jones to Eli Manning in their second season, you know, how can you compare him? I said, you can from the experience standpoint, except for when we didn't had Eli Manning going into 05, we had the same offense. We had game experience from the 04 season. But in 05, we also had Tiki Barber, who rushed for 1,500 yards, had over 600 yards receiving, had a Pro Bowl season. He doesn't have Saquon Barkley. You can't take that away from the sheer fact that when you're a quarterback in your second season and you don't have a premier back that you can turn around and take some of it off of your plate, it makes it difficult to ascend at the quarterback position. But I think the way that we've seen Wayne Gallman starting to run the football, the offensive line starting to gel, I think, as I said, this is the true time where we're going to be evaluating the play of Daniel Jones moving forward. And I think it's going to be good to see.
Sometimes I feel when I look at Daniel Jones that he's like sort of like a victim of this instant gratification culture. Like I feel that people want him to come in and be Patrick Mahomes right off the bat. Do you feel the same way?
Well, you know, you think about that. Patrick Mahomes sat out a year, didn't he?
Yep.
And I think that's one of the things that when you have a young quarterback that comes in and has success, people think of it that it's just going to happen that way across the board. You know, it's a lot different. You know, a starting quarterback used to get maybe 2 or 3 years to prove himself as a player. Now it's like, okay, you got one season. Go out there and throw it all you got and see what happens. And as I said, I'm not making excuses in any way, shape, or form, but you have to take into effect when you're sitting here evaluating Daniel Jones. No offseason, no OTAs, no mini camps, and figure up until the middle of the season, he didn't have a full plethora of his weapons on the outside of the ball. Everybody was injured.
Andrew Thomas, over the last 2 weeks, has not allowed a sack. David Deal, obviously you being a Super Bowl winning, two-time Super Bowl winning offensive lineman, what do you attribute to his uptick?
I think, number one, he's playing with a lot more confidence. I think he's playing with more confidence and an understanding and a grasp of what they're trying to accomplish with their offense and the schemes and what they're running. And then, two, honing in on his individual techniques and fundamentals. You see him bending more at the knees and more at the ankles instead of bending at the waist, where that gets your shoulders in front of you and it gets you out of balance with your punch to where defensive ends can either pull you through or run the edge. He's done a much better job of maintaining inside leverage, giving the defensive end a one-way go, and being more confident with throwing your hands. You got to, as your offensive tackle, you've got to be a boxer. You're not a gunslinger. You got to have those hands up, and you've got to have more than one punch set up against these dynamic defensive ends, because in the college game, you can get by with a two-hand punch and still be successful each and every rep. If you try to duplicate that and do it in the NFL, you're setting yourself up for disaster, because defensive ends are going to chop. They're going to move your hands, and you better have a secondary move to be able to restart and redirect their rush.
And we're talking with David Deal, co-host of WFAN's Football Sunday show with Mark Melusis. I think finally, we talked about the offensive line gelling. I think maybe the Giants have sort of found an identity, even without Saquon Barkley, because they rushed the ball well. I mean, last week was a season high, 166 yards. In your opinion, have the Giants finally found that identity?
I think that they have. I think that you're starting to see Jason Garrett come up with game plans that are putting their offense in success. I think that we saw that in the Tampa Bay game and this last Washington game. But more importantly, we need to see it in this Philadelphia game. When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, people are going to throw around all these numbers and stats going into the game, but this is a heavyweight fight. This is a game that's won and lost in the trenches, and it's always been that way from the time that this tradition and rivalry started to even going back to when I first played in this game and this rivalry in 03. It always comes down to the O-line and the D-line and who can control the line of scrimmage. And I think that's going to be crucial. When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, they've had struggles on the offense. They've had some struggles on the back end. But the one area that they never struggle with is their defensive line. They can attack the quarterback. I think they're third or fourth in the NFL with 28 sacks on the quarterback, 66 quarterback hits. They know under Jim Schwartz's defense how to get a quarterback off of a spot. And most importantly, try to get you out of a run game to where you can eat up the clock and be in short and manageable. So I think that that's going to be the big telltale sign of who's going to win, who can control the line of scrimmage, and who can keep their quarterback clean. That's going to be the biggest telltale sign of who wins this game, because both Daniel Jones and Carson Wentz, who we've seen when they're under pressure, when they're getting hit, that's when some of those mistakes show up.
NFC East wide open. Do you think the Giants have a real legit shot to win it?
So you're saying we've got a chance. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You know what? As crazy as it is, they do. If they win this game up against the Philadelphia Eagles, it puts them in a position to where at the end of the year, when they're playing that week 17 game up against the Dallas Cowboys, they could be playing for something. They could be playing to get into the playoffs, which is an exciting thing. And that's one of the only things that you're looking for, is to have a purpose and to have an opportunity just to get into the dance. And when you think about it, we've seen teams like the Seattle Seahawks, who had that wild card game. They played it at home. They were 7-9. They shocked the world by beating the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees at home. There's no telling what can happen on any given Sunday when you get the opportunity to play an opposing team.
Well, me and my dad were in Tampa Bay when you guys did it, and you guys won that Super Bowl that year, by the way. So,
oh, that's awesome. Yeah, in 07, we always said that there were more Giants fans in Tampa than there are Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans.
Finally, my final question, kind of along those lines, is speaking of identity and success, my vote is yes off the bat. Would you like to see the Giants adopt those new throwback uniforms for good?
Oh, that's the one thing. I was fortunate enough to play 11 seasons for the Giants, but we never got the opportunity to break out the old school all whites with the old Giants helmet that said Giants across the side with the white face mask. I would have loved to have worn those jerseys and those uniforms. But the good thing is that the NFL is talking about 2021, that they might allow NFL teams to have an alternate helmet. So that would allow you to have an alternate jersey and to be able to bring back that throwback for good.
Love that. I'm sure my dad will too. David, thanks so much for your insight. We appreciate it.
Truly my pleasure. Have a great one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.